And tonight, our main speaker is Anthony.
My heart is beating so fast. Do you feel it? My name is Anthony, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is September 11, 1991. I'm here from Chicago. I do have a home group back in Chicago, and it's the Common Solution Group. Here in New York, I do call this my home group, the Atlantic Group. I have a sponsor. His name is Sean Kay, and I am on the third step, and I'm living steps 9, 10, 11, and 12. Whoa, my story. They told me to make sure I talk about alcoholism. And that's just it. My story started when I was about 5 or 6 years old. From 5 to 13 years old, I remember seeing alcoholism. I didn't know what it was until I came into AA 21 years ago. Back then, when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, until 13 years old, I seen a lot of things as a child. And I remember us as children making this place that we would go to up under my grandmother's porch, and we would drink Wild Irish Rose, Boone's Farms, Night Train, and Peppermint Snaps, and I would climb trees, and I would smoke leaves. I wanted whatever I was feeling to stop. I wanted the shame, the guilt, the hurt, the fear, the resentment. Back then, we called it hate. I wanted all of that to go away. I learned that word in Alcoholics Anonymous. Where I come from, it was called hate. I hate everyone in the house. And in this little clubhouse, we ran extension cords down to it. And those extension cords gave us lights. We found furniture in the alleys. And we would drink down there. And we would stay down there. And that's where I found safety, because I ran from everything else. As a kid, I could open the back doors to my grandma's house, and my grandmother had 27 grandkids, and we had a 3-bedroom house, and all of us stayed there. So opening that back door and seeing my mother turn a trick, being beaten by a pimp, going to jail, or being chased by a pimp, you know, that's what I saw as a child. So that's what I thought was normal. So in me seeing that, the kids that were living on the same block that went to the same school I went to, they saw it too. So the shame to even go to school, so school is definitely not a part of my story. I don't want you to get that twisted, because I was not going there. That was not the place for me. So by the time I was 13 years old, I knew exactly what alcoholism was. I watched this lady named Henrietta come out of her house looking very beautiful every morning. By 12 o'clock, she was laying in a gutter, her wig was twisted, her hat was flipped, and she was drunk, and they called her a winehead. That's what I knew about. I didn't know about anything else. But through all of that, I knew I liked the effects produced by this thing that she had. I remember that whole thing about finding out that I have alcoholism. Today, I know that my story about my life is more about me having alcoholism. Is not the fact that, you know, I grew up watching shooting galleries. I grew up in a safe house. I grew up watching people get their brain shot out next to me. I grew up using triple bean scales. You know, that stuff doesn't make me an alcoholic. What makes me an alcoholic is the way I see things today, the way I look at life, the way I react to life. When I don't respond to life, the way I react to life makes me an alcoholic. I get fearful. I get jealous. I get resentful now. I know the word, and I know what it means. The thing I do that also makes me an alcoholic is I go on these sprees. I go on shopping sprees, isolation sprees, sex sprees. Disappointment sprees, like I go through those stages of my life. Those are the things that make me an alcoholic, because I want to act out on my behavior, because I don't want to change the way I am. I don't want to change the way I act with people. So what happened for me, after being 13 years old, living in the shooting gallery, living in these crack houses, living in all of these places, shooting galleries, bootleggers at 2 o'clock in the morning, like turning 17 years old and being homeless and sleeping on the back porch with rats and cats, eating behind rodents, washing up in the fire hydrant, and sleeping on that back porch and watching this kid go to school every morning. He had a set of headphones, he had clean sneakers, and he had the best clothes. Like, he had clothes, and I didn't. And I knew that's what I wanted. I wanted that desperately. And being 17-year-old and watching another 17-year-old get on a bus at 8 o'clock and then get off a bus about 3, I timed him because I knew he was going somewhere with that backpack and those clean clothes, and I knew he was going home to a mother and to a family. That's what my head told me. I don't know what was going on in his life, but I made that up. That's what an alcoholic do. They make things up, and that's what I did. And I made it so real that I desperately wanted it. And when I went into that shelter at 18, and I was in that shelter at 18 years old, and this woman, she told me, she said, "Anthony, I have a place for you." Mind you, I was in that shelter for 30 days, and they told us we couldn't stay out late, and if we did, we'd get kicked out. I'm homeless. I'm living in a shelter, 18 years old. I still do the same thing. I stayed out late and got all the alcohol, stayed in a hotel room, and I had all the things I need, all the accessories to it. And the only thing crossed my mind, I'm 18 years old, and if I throw this chair out the window, I can go behind it. My last resort was suicide. That's what I wanted to do. I took the walk of shame. I went back to the shelter, and I told the people what happened. I wanted them to feel sorry for me. Early on, I learned how to tell the story so people feel sorry for me, so I can become this victim. As an alcoholic, I like to be the victim. I like being the victim. So this was the biggest opportunity for me to be a victim, to let them know, hey, my mom was shot. She was in the hospital, and I was there all day. They didn't believe me. Some people did, especially the people in AA. They rubbed my back. They took my hand. Some of them let me sleep on their sofa. I took advantage of that. The victim. That's what I wanted to be. After a week or so, they let me back in. And that woman, she said, "I have a place for you." And in this place, it was 9 months of treatment, 6 months of treatment, 90 days of halfway house. I went in that place. And in that place, on my way there, like where I grew up at, there was glass. There was not a street line with grass. It was all glass and abandoned buildings. I got off the bus, and this street was street lined with green grass, and it had trees. It's all the stuff as a child that I saw on TV. I was like, wow, this is beautiful. I got off that bus, and I walked down that street. And walking down that street to that treatment center, I went in that treatment center, and the first thing they said is that you're depressed. You need some antidepressants or something. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. She said, "But you need it." I didn't take it. They gave me a bed, and I stayed there 6 months. And being in that treatment center for 6 months, the counselor, he told me, he said, "Go to your room and ask God to reveal himself to you every day." I'm like, this man has got to be crazy, because every time my grandmother opened the Bible and talked about God, a paddy wagon pulled up and took her away. So I am not doing that. Here's what I do remember. I remember being young and my grandmother, during the holidays, I remember my grandmother used to do that. And I remember the holidays, and we had no food. And there's 27 of us. And I remember my grandmother used to get a hot plate after doing that. And on that hot plate, she would cook a meal for 27 grandkids. She would make it work. So I knew in my heart that there was a God, because every time we needed a home, there was a home for us. My grandmother got a home for us, all 27 of us, and I'm the oldest. I watched her pray. And I watched them lock her up, and I was always wondering what was the problem. So when I went in that room and I prayed to that God, and I said, God, reveal yourself to me. And all I knew is I was supposed to stay there. 2 months later, I'm working in a research lab. Mind you, school is not a part of my story. So to go inside a research lab and read schematic sheets to get computers to work for an 18-year-old that didn't go to school, that was amazing. That wasn't me. That was God working in my favor, and he's been doing that from then till now. You know, coming out of treatment, I remember my first apartment, you know, and I remember my sponsor saying, go to a meeting every day. And I remember hearing people say, make meetings till they make sense. Read the big book. You know, I didn't want to read the big book. My first introduction to the big book was about Bill W., a white man that's talking about tickers and stock. I didn't know nothing about that. Where I come from, we didn't talk about that. It's how much money you got. But when I read it the second time, I got the message. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. See, but alcoholism was still there. I was still operating from that space of victimized or being a victim or looking for my next person to victimize in the rooms. I was still operating from a place of alcoholism. And I didn't know what to do. And my sponsor was like, read the book. Make meetings till they make sense. Do the work. Do what work? I don't want to do that work. I'm 21 years old. I don't want to do that. I just want to be normal. I want to be like every other 21. It's not, Anthony, that's not possible for you. This is where you come from. And I had to really look at that. And I had to continue to pray. And as I prayed, things started to happen. By the time I was 21, you know what? I lost my mother to a murder. But here's the thing. Alcoholics Anonymous, the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous was there, and I was still crazy. My alcoholism was still in full flight. I was still crazy. But the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous stayed there for me. They showed up. They showed me how to bury a woman. They showed me how to bring 10 children together across the map. Like, all of us are spread out. It's 10 of us. And they showed me how to get all of us together and have a service. Like, they taught me how to do that. They taught me how to get up and go to work. They told me to get up, dress, take a shower, right? Take a shower. Make sure you make your bed and thank God on the way out the door and go to work and be real grateful. They taught me how to do that. And when they taught me that, I knew that that wasn't me. Because I had to follow those directions. Because what I wanted to do is cheat, lie, steal, and run the streets. Hey, I'm 21 years old, 22 years old, and I don't have nothing in my system. And everything and everybody looks real good, and I want to have some fun. See, I'm not like everybody else. When they created this Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, I know today that they created it for somebody like me. Because I have alcoholism. And my alcoholism would tell me that I look real good. That I look real good. My alcoholism would tell me that I'm better than the next person. And my alcoholism would tell me with 21 years that you don't have to do this. But Alcoholics Anonymous, if I'm in the rooms with other alcoholics doing this work, showing up, being honest, being available, doing my part, turning around and say, hi, my name is Anthony, what's yours? If I'm doing that, I'm showing up for Alcoholics Anonymous. And all of the defenses, a praying God, a loving God in my own understanding, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the sponsorship, the people in these rooms, like I got all these defenses. But here's the thing about God, me and my understanding of God. And I will talk about him for a little bit, and you might get upset, and I ain't going to worry about it. Because this is the thing that stopped me from eating behind rodents. And this is the thing that when I lost that job that had me feeling like I was somebody and I was making over $100,000, I lost that job and I lost the relationship. And then he gave me an 8-year-old daughter to know how, he gave me a baby to know how to treat people. He told me that I was worthy by giving me a child. In spite of what happened with me and her mother, he gave me an opportunity to be a maximum service to the world, not just people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous taught me how to be of service. And I had to go out and do the work. If God took me into this direction, in this direction, I found it in the steps. You know. Now it's like, when I went through the book with my sponsor this time, it was more like step one to my innermost self that I'm an alcoholic and believing that. Believing that. And looking at step two and we agnostics and finding a God of my own understanding. I must not forget like how there's a solution. For me today, I know that it's the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and it's a spiritual awakening. And the only way I get that is if I practice these principles and I do the step work. And I need somebody in my life that diligently does the step work because I'm an alcoholic. And my behavior gets out of hand. My behavior will take me to places I don't supposed to be. The 4-step work that I did that flipped me inside out, that cracked my soul and heart open so that I can be available after losing that job, losing the property and prestige, feeling like I was better than, how do I dress up this person that's so broken? How do I dress up this alcoholic that has alcoholism? The step work changed that for me. Because today I have a loving relationship with my daughter and her mother. We just opened a business together. This is the woman that didn't like me. We started our own business. This is the woman that I harm emotionally, broken, drug her through it, lied, cheated, and stole from her. And I was able to go back. I was able to go back and make amends in that area of life. Now today, my daughter is happy to see me. Today, we play amazing games. We play amazing games. We don't play pimps, prostitutes, hookers, and dope fiends. We don't play that. That's what I played. That's what I played when I was her age. Today, we play amazing games that sit her. Next year, she'll be going to the Northwestern University for mathematics, because we play real games today. This is the gift that God gave me today. It's to show up and know that I am an alcoholic with alcoholism. It's not about what I put in my system. It's how I respond to the world. My life is amazing. I don't have everything I used to have. I work for Starbucks. I don't make over $100,000 a year. I have a beautiful home. And I love it. I don't walk down the street pretending that I'm anyone but me. Who I am today is very important because I show up for people. I do not put anything before this program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It doesn't matter. If I'm doing the work diligently, if I'm showing up and doing what I'm supposed to do, life gets easier. The step work is amazing. If you don't have a sponsor, get one. If you don't have a home group, find one. And if you don't like the one you go to, get over it. Because that's where the recovery starts. God has changed my life. I want to share something with you all. Because I had over the years undergone a little spiritual development, the absolute quality of these frightful dependencies had never before been so strikingly revealed, reinforced by what grace I could secure in prayer. I found I had to exert every ounce of will and action to cut off these faulty emotional dependencies upon people, upon AA, and then indeed upon any set of circumstances whatsoever. Then only could I be free to love as St. Francis had. Emotional and instinctual satisfaction I saw was really the exact evidence of having love, offering love and expressing love, appropriate to the relationship of life. In all of my relationships, only through a grace of God that I am available to love, no matter what. I don't look for anything in return. The steps has taught me today, no one owes me nothing because I lost a mother young. No one owes me nothing because my environment I grew up in. No one owes me nothing because I have alcoholism. What I owe back to the world is my life. And what I owe to the next alcoholic is a seat. And my job is to be available for them. I am happy today I'm an alcoholic. I am happy today that I have a God of my understanding and that I go through the step work according to how my sponsor takes me through it. And I am free. I am free to be available. When my alcoholism shows up, I know where I gotta go. I have to run to a meeting. And I have to be available for the next suffering alcoholic. Because my problem ain't nothing compared to the next man trying to have one day. I know today you don't have to get sober again. You just have to come back to another meeting. My name is Anthony, and I'm a grateful alcoholic.